You wake up already thinking about work, not reacting, thinking, running through meetings, anticipating problems, carrying pressure no one else even sees yet. You do it because you're capable, you're trusted, you earned your seat at the table. So why does leadership feel heavier than it should? Why does your calendar stay full, but strategy keeps pushed further down the list? Why does everything still seem to come back to you? Not because your team isn't capable, but because somewhere along the way, you became the resource, the one who fixes it, carries it, catches what others missed. And for a while, that worked. It built your reputation. It made you valuable. And it probably got you promoted. But what built your reputation might now be limiting your leadership. And today, we're going to talk about how the hidden cost of caring too much and why overfunctioning looks like leadership strength until it starts breaking strategy. I'm going to show you how leaders quietly become the bottleneck, how teams unintentionally become dependent, and how to reclaim the space required to lead strategically again. Not theory, not buzzwords. Real leadership patterns and practical shifts you can use immediately. This is today's Evolving Leader. Let's get into it. Welcome to this episode of today's Evolving Leader. Today, we're not talking about theory. We're not talking about mindset hacks. We're talking about what leadership actually feels like when you're capable, committed, and caring more than you'd like to admit. You know, you walk into a meeting already three steps ahead, or at least you think you are. You've reviewed the numbers. You've anticipated the objections. You've already drafted your responses before someone finishes the question. You're going to show up calm, prepared, and even composed. But perhaps somewhere underneath that composure is tension. Your thinking is already in overdrive because you're not just leading the meeting. You're holding the business strategy in your head. You're making sure the objectives stay intact. You're calculating how this conversation impacts results. You're ensuring alignment while trying not to destabilize the team. And at the same time, you're managing risk. You're managing perception. You're managing how you land in that room. You're tracking the dynamics no one is naming. And before anyone even articulates a potential problem, you solve it. You direct it. You sell it. You absorb it. And then everyone leaves thinking, thank God she was in the room. And for a while, that feels good. You feel valued. You feel trusted. You're the one who keeps things steady and people are coming to you. But here's the part no one says aloud. When you are always the one who fixes it, you become the pressure valve for the entire system. And you know it. It's why you've started feeling frustrated. Why you look at your team and you think, why don't they just see it? It's why your workload hasn't lightened, even though you've hired good people. It's why you're carrying more than your title should require. And here's what I see happen next. The leader keeps stepping in, keeps correcting, keeps answering, and slowly the team stops owning decisions. And it's not because they aren't capable, but it's because they've learned you'll step in anyway. And this is where strategy starts to disappear. Think about that. It's not in one big moment, but in 100 small interruptions that steal your thinking time. And most leaders don't even notice it until they can't think clearly anymore. So let me ask you something honestly. When was the last time you had uninterrupted time to think? I'm talking uninterrupted, not to respond to people, not to attend meetings, not to react, just think. Because strategy doesn't happen in full calendars. It happens in white space. And when leaders lose or give up white space, they don't just feel tired. they become reactive. You don't say it out loud, but there are moments you think, it would just be easier if I did it. And that's the trap. Because the very thing that makes you exceptional is also the thing that keeps you overextended, exhausted, and unsustainable. And when that happens, it doesn't just affect you. It affects the business. Because now all of a sudden, decisions slow down because they gotta wait for you. Strategy gets pushed to the side because you don't have time. And your team stops thinking for themselves because they know you'll catch it. And then without realizing it, you become the system holding everything together. And I hate to tell you this, that's not leadership strength. That's leadership dependency. And honestly, dependency slows organizations down. And this is where I'm going to get honest with you. This pattern probably built your reputation, got you to where you are, being prepared, being the one who sees around the corners, being the steady hand in the room, and doing it when others couldn't. It worked for that season. It probably got you promoted, earned you trust, and made you indispensable. But what built your reputation is not automatically what builds your next level of impact. And I want you to hear that. What makes you exceptional at one level of leadership can quietly become the bottleneck at the next. Not because you've lost your edge, but because you're still leading from the version of you that once believed you had to prove that you belonged. And that version of you is incredibly capable. It's sharp, prepared, can read a room in seconds, and anticipates problems before they surface. Built your credibility there. But that was built in a season where belonging in a higher role wasn't assumed, where being excellent felt safer than being visible, where over-delivering reduced risk, and where being indispensable meant you wouldn't be questioned. That strategy worked until it didn't. Because what once made you that indispensable leader now makes you that bottleneck, as I said. It got you here. But it was a strategy built for proving, not for sustaining leadership at scale. Here's the ceiling, if you will. When you're always three steps ahead, no one else learns how to think at that altitude. When you're always absorbing pressure, you train everyone around you to think that you can handle unlimited weight. And the truth is, when you absorb everything, you also remove the urgency for others to grow. And eventually, they believe you. And you know this to be true. You feel it in the frustration when your team brings you problems they could have solved. You feel it in the exhaustion when everything still roots back through you. And you feel it in the quiet resentment when you think, why am I still the one carrying this? This is not a capability issue. It's an identity pattern that once protected you and now limits your leadership reach. Because now it's limiting your reach and your impact. And this is where leadership must evolve, whether you're ready or not. Not by doing more, by optimizing harder, but by letting go of the version of you that needed to prove you belonged, and finally stepping into the version of you who already knows you do. All right, let's see what this looks like in real life. I'm going to give you some examples. So let me describe three leaders I see over and over again, and see if you can recognize yourself in any of these leaders. The first one is a high-performing executive who maybe you triple-check everything, you review decks at midnight, you rewrite emails before they go out, you sit in meetings thinking, there's a problem with this, I just haven't found it yet. The team would actually think this leader is brilliant, strategic, detail-oriented, and always prepared. But what no one sees about this leader is the body of that leader never fully powers down. Even on vacation, they're thinking about work. Even at dinner, there's a background processing. And even at 2 a.m., there's mental rehearsal around the deck you're going to be presenting. This leader says it's just high standards, but high standards without release becomes vigilance. If it's not perfect, you may feel exposed. If it's not airtight, you may feel vulnerable. If you miss something, you think it will cost you. So the jaw stays tight. Sleep is not really good. It stays pretty light and you wake up through the night. And excellence becomes vigilance. Okay, let's talk about the second leader. They're the dependable one. They say yes to absolutely everything and take on extra responsibility. Staying late, answering emails at 10:30 at night. They tell themselves they are being supportive, but underneath that is the fear usually shows up in a persistent, quiet way that they're going to become irrelevant. They say things, if I'm not helpful, I'm replaceable. Or if I'm not needed, I lose value. So their calendar fills up, their boundaries blur, and the body's running on adrenaline disguised as dedication. For that leader, headaches become normal. Digestion gets unpredictable, and weekends don't do anything to restore them. But the outside world sees commitment from them. And then finally, the third leader, the one that's going to hit close to home for many leaders, well, they won't delegate key relationships. They won't release decisions. They say things like, it's just faster if I do it. And technically, sometimes it is. But what that really means is, if I let go, something might fall apart. And if it falls apart, I'm accountable. So this leader absorbs pressures. They carry the tension. They hold the room steady, and from the outside, they can appear strong, capable, and in control, but from the inside, they may be feeling like they're always braced, shoulders tight, mind always in drive, and forecasting what's next with a system that is rarely settled and quiet, so it doesn't have time to break in between. Let me share something personal. There was a season in my own leadership where I thought I was doing everything right. I attended all the meetings. My calendar was back to back. I was there listening, learning, staying close to everything so I always knew what was happening, being visible, being informed, but also just staying busy. And none of that was wrong. Like I said, I was learning. I was able to take some of that information to help me plan. But it truly wasn't strategic. And so what I realized was that I had filled my calendar with activity, but didn't have enough space for strategy. Not enough time to step back and ask, does this thing that we're going to be doing make sense? Does it still align with where the business is going? And I had a very supportive leader that helped me to be able to take control of that and have some tough conversations of why things were important and why they weren't. So I made some hard shifts. I stopped attending some meetings, not because they weren't important, but because my presence wasn't always required. Why attend a 1-hour meeting when somebody can let you know in a quick email that may take you 5 minutes to handle or respond instead? I also handed other meetings to my team. Not just to free up my time, but to grow their leadership and then have them bring me back what mattered. And I took work off their plates that no longer made sense, especially after we pivoted and new direction was introduced. Again, some tough conversations, but why do things just because we've always done them? And I stepped back into projects where I could make the biggest difference, the work that actually moved the business forward and brought me joy. You know, especially if you think about it, after direction shifts, priorities change, which we know happens all too often, because that's when strategy starts to reappear. And for me, it wasn't because I worked harder, but because I created space to think again, to test, to see how it was, what we were doing was impacting the business, to see what pivots we had to make, to understand what little tweaks we could do to make it even better, or things that we could get rid of that we didn't need to. In fact, we stopped sending out a report just to test to see who was using it. And guess what? Nobody said they were missing it. Why were we doing all that work when we could just jump on a call and present 2 minutes of the same information? And I want you to remember something. Leadership isn't about being everywhere. It's about being where you matter most. Now, here's some uncomfortable truth most leaders don't say. We regularly call what we've talked about ambition. This is ambition. This is me wanting to grow, to get promoted. I have to do this. But often, it's merely overfunctioning. It's leadership that was built in survival seasons. It's the version of you that learned to be indispensable, flawless, the doer, the fixer. And again, that version worked, but it also trained you how to operate in constant readiness, even when it wasn't required. Talk about fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Because when your system is always on, you can hit goals, but you can't feel settled. So the question becomes, what would it look like to lead without constantly bracing for impact or change? What would it look like to hold strategy, results, and standards while also allowing yourself space to think clearly about those exact same things? Because what we're talking about isn't about lowering expectations. It's about raising capacity. And capacity not just for you and for your team. Let's make this practical again. So going back to the first leader, the one who triple checks everything, your micro shift is this. The next time you're about to refine something again, ask yourself, if this goes out as is, what am I afraid people will conclude about me? Not about the work, about you. Are you afraid they'll think you missed something? That you're not sharp enough? That you don't belong at this level? Because once you're operating at senior levels, perfection isn't the differentiator. Clarity is. Decisiveness is. Direction is. Your job is no longer to remove every flaw. It's to move the organization forward. So instead of asking, is this tight enough? Is this perfect enough? Ask, is this clear enough for people to decide? If the answer is yes, release it. You don't build executive presence by over-polishing. You build it by standing behind decisions. Okay, so that's the first leader. If you're the second leader, the dependable one, your micro shift is to pause before saying yes. Pause and count to three. And then ask yourself, if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to that actually matters? And in fact, I used to ask, if I say yes to this, is it in alignment with my goals and my objectives that I am to achieve this year? Or is it something that's just really cool and interesting? Because if it's really cool and interesting, I'm not going to do it. I have to hit these first. I can always come back to that, but these are the critical. So am I saying no to what actually matters more? Because at your level, capacity is capital. And every yes is an allocation of strategic energy. You're giving up strategy. And then ask yourself the harder question of, am I saying yes because this is important? Or because I want to remain indispensable or light? Because indispensable feels powerful in the moment, But sustainable leaders are not indispensable. They are intentional around where their capacity goes. So the next time someone asks for more, say, let me review priorities and get back to you on it. Not to stall, but for you to actually decide. Because leaders who evolve stop confusing availability with leadership value. All right, now we're going to go to the third leader, the one who won't release the critical pieces. And your micro shift is this. When something lands on your desk, instead of fixing it, ask, if I solve this, what leadership muscle am I preventing someone else from building? And I've got a great way in my coaching practice on how I help individuals shift that. And then I encourage you to also ask yourself after you answer that question, if I solve this, what leadership muscle am I preventing someone else from building? And then ask, am I protecting the business or am I protecting my identity as the one who saves it? Because that could be a real question for you too. As over time, being that hero doesn't just become expensive. It becomes dangerous to the organization's ability to grow beyond you. It's expensive to your time, expensive to your team's growth, and expensive to your body, whether you feel it yet or not. So instead of giving answers, give structure. Say things like, here's what matters, or here's the risk. Or perhaps you own the recommendation and let them carry the weight of the decision long enough to grow from it. You'll still be there to support them and to ask them questions. You're there to guide them and help them, but let them hold it and grow from it. In the end, you are not there to absorb all uncertainty. You are there to distribute it intelligently. These are not soft shifts, so I hope they make sense. These are executive recalibrations that change outcomes. And if you actually practice them, here's what you're going to notice changes. You're going to stop leading from protection and start leading from position. You're going to stop proving and start directing. And you're going to stop carrying everything and start scaling your people. And that is so much fun. And here's the part most leaders don't say. When you shift like this, your body is going to shift too. And that is so important. You're going to sleep better. You're not going to be replaying conversations at midnight. You're not going to be wired or scanning for things at 10:30 at night. Your shoulders aren't going to be bracing for impact all the time, because urgency is going to drop as control loosens, the pressure redistributes. And that's not theory. That, my friends, is leadership reality. And sustainable leadership, which every business looks for, shows up in your body, whether you're willing to acknowledge it or not. I know of what I speak. The next level of your leadership isn't about more intensity. It's about internal security. That's the life-altering shift. And that, my friends, is evolution. So let me end with this. It's potential that you are overfunctioning as a leader, because at some point overfunctioning kept you safe. But leadership in this current season requires discernment, not perfection, not urgency, not proving. This isn't about becoming someone else. It's about leading in a way that your body, your values, and your life can sustain. And if something in this episode felt uncomfortable, good. That means you're not done growing and you don't have to figure it out all alone. We'll keep having these conversations here, and I hope to see you in the next episode of today's Evolving Leader. Before we close, I want to invite you to pause for a moment. Leadership isn't just about what you know or what you do. It's about how you show up in your body, in your choices, and in how you relate to yourself when things feel uncertain. If something from today's conversation stayed with you, let it. You don't need to rush to act on it. Integration happens when insight meets presence. And if you know someone who might need this conversation, a colleague, a peer, or someone you're guiding, consider sharing it with them. Sometimes leadership looks like using what you've learned to support someone else's growth. Thank you for spending time with me and for the way you continue to evolve in how you lead and live. I'll see you next time on today's Evolving Leader.